Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're about to have a football conversation with Fox Sports NFL insider Jordan Schultz, friend of the show, but nice enough to join us over the years during breaking news situations. And now we're anticipating the appointment of a DC here before too long. And Jordan Schultz joining you now here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. And good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Guys, doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Man, it's great to have you. I guess my first question here is, how attractive is the Cowboys job right now? I'm thinking if I'm a coveted coach, it'd be nice to come work for the star and all that and all the attention that comes along with it. But this probably doesn't look like much of a stepping stone opportunity for me to become a head coach. So I'll just leave it open-ended for you, though. How attractive is the Cowboys DC job right now from a national perspective?
I think it really takes the right an ideal candidate. I'm not talking about age or philosophy or scheme. I'm talking about the mentality of what am I trying to accomplish in my career and how can I go to Dallas and, you know, resurrect what's really been the laughing stock of the league. And it's not because of talent. I think they have plenty of talent on the defense. I don't think anybody ever understood the Matt Eberflus hire. When he got fired from Chicago, he was calling around the league trying to get a new job, and Dallas, for whatever reason, decided he was the right fit. But if you think about the last four or five coordinators, whether it's Marinelli, Nolan, DQ, Zimmer, and Flus, these are all former head coaches in the NFL. So if I'm Jerry Jones, to me, I'm looking for something different. You know, I wanted to be more innovative in this hire, and I don't want to find a retread. I want to find the next up-and-coming, you know, really bright defensive coach, because I think Brian Schottenheimer, he wasn't without his faults, but I thought he did some really good things and probably better than most people thought in his rookie year, if you will. He needs a really bright up-and-coming defensive coordinator that's going to let him do the offense and mesh together.
It's been kind of quiet since the announcement.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of traction. Is there any buzz going on of who that could be?
So I think, first of all, again, you mentioned, like, is this not necessarily like the brightest job or the most appetizing job? I think part of the problem is that there is a stigma that if you go to Dallas, you're not going to have the autonomy to operate the way you want. And I don't know if that's true. I'm just telling you that's what a few prospective defensive coaches have told me over the past like week or so as we started to look at this cycle. And that is a problem. And it's a problem because you're not necessarily going to attract all the types of candidates that you want. I would actually ask you, because I'm always curious when I go on, especially in some of the bigger local markets with really passionate fan bases, do you think the fans are confident that Jerry is going to actually get this hire right, or is it like less confident than ever?
It's less confident than ever. I think there's a ton of frustration amongst the fan base that right now they're pretty hopeless for a lot of fans.
Yeah, I think the hope is that Shoddy can kind of take the wheel of this thing because
sure.
We need something different. We need different decision makers.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Brian Schottenheimer bringing in Clayton Adams, right? That was a guy he didn't have familiarity with.
That was
with.
A really good hire.
Home
that
run
was a
hire.
Really good hire.
100%.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. I mean, you're asking for names, and I don't want to contradict myself, but there has been some smoke around, you know, Brian Flores and Dallas. But that is a former head coach. I reported earlier today he's going to interview in Baltimore, and he might get others. If you're looking for a name that I haven't really seen a lot, but to me is probably like one of these under-the-radar up-and-comers, it's Jim Leonard from Denver. There's been a lot of really good buzz around him quietly, but he comes from Vance Joseph Tree, who's interviewing pretty much everywhere. And the defense, obviously, is pretty much top three across the board in every metric. He's never, to my knowledge, called plays, but, you know, he's played. He's been very well respected. He's risen up. To me, that's the type of person you'd want to bring in, because he doesn't have, he's not a retread, and he has aspirations to grow in the business. And I think him and Shoddy could get along quite well. They were together with the Jets.
Hey, Jordan, okay, we talk about them screwing it up, but with the names we're mentioning, if they interview these guys and like one of these guys, is that that'd be hard for screwing it up, right? I mean, what would you think screwing it up would be? Like hiring, who would, do you have a screwing it up guy in mind?
Well, not really. I guess it'd be retreads. Like, for example,
Is Jeff Ulbrich in Atlanta a screwed up guy?
I like Brick.
Okay.
And I think Atlanta wants to keep him. Are you talking about Ulbrich or Halfley?
Ulbrich.
Ulbrich in Atlanta? No, yeah. Atlanta wants to keep him, and I think Matt Ryan will want to keep him.
Yeah.
That would not be a screw up. A screw up would be like if you're Dallas and you let this thing go down to the wire and you don't have one of these premium guys that they've already taken jobs. I mean, you know, someone said to me, why wouldn't Dallas go after Jonathan Gannon? Like, mm-hmm. That's not the right move to me.
Yeah.
You know, Jonathan Gannon.
I agree with you on that. Yeah.
I know he was together with Clayton Adams.
Yeah.
And so it's an easy connection.
Yeah.
But, like, no, he just got fired after winning 15 games in 3 years. His defense is consistently underperformed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want Jonathan Gannon as my DC, all
right.
due respect.
Right.
That's a mistake.
Right.
And that's the kind of move that wouldn't shock me, because he is a big name and he was with Clayton Adams. But, like, that's not the type of move that I'm looking to make. Yeah.
I would say to other coaching candidates, though, Jordan, it seems like the Cowboys might overly empower a DC as far as personnel, as far as picking the scheme.
Yeah.
Like, we needed Eberflus maybe to be more open-minded to changing his scheme a lot earlier in the season. And it didn't seem like, I mean, all the way down to Logan Wilson not getting on the field enough. Like, he was empowered to play favorites. And for years, they've allowed DCs to pick players in the draft.
Hey, yeah, Jordan, if you tell your buddies that want this job that you're going to be able to get whatever players you want, they're going to listen to you. The front office is just going to completely – trust me, I lived it 14 years of my life there. I mean, they're going to they're going to let you pick what players you want.
They will.
Yeah.
As a defensive coordinator. Well, if that's
tell your buddies that. Yeah, they're going to let you pick.
If that's the case, then shoot. I mean, I'm the first call I would make is Al Harris. I mean, to me, like, Al Harris should have never let him out the building.
Yeah.
And he's done a hell of a job in Chicago.
Yeah.
And especially with the DBs. And, like, bring him back, man. Like, Al Harris.
Yeah, what if I told you the head coach doesn't like him? What if I told you that there's a big disconnect between them? Yeah,
I understand, but like that's when you know.
I understand what you're saying. It makes sense, but yeah, there's something between those two that's not very good.
Yeah, you know the interesting part here is like one of the hardest parts, and this is not me talking. This is just having done this for quite a long time
now.
One of the hardest parts for head coaches, especially young head coaches, and let's put Shoddy in that mix, is the idea that not only is it okay to, but I need to delegate. And it's just a hard thing to do, I think, in any real leadership role, but particularly in the NFL. And, I think Raheem Morris is a good example of it. When it didn't work out in Tampa, he talked about, this is what I learned. And I know it didn't work out in Atlanta either, but he was, I thought he did a decent job. They won their last four. I thought he had a real chance to keep that job. The reason I bring up him is because if you're a young up and coming coach, let's say defensive coach, like an Al Harris, you now can look at someone like Brian Schottenheimer, put your differences aside, but more importantly for Brian Schottenheimer to say, you know, this may not be my favorite person, but I have to trust him that he's going to do a great job.
Yeah.
It's Fox Sports NFL insider Jordan Schultz here with you on 105.3 The Fan. In the division here with the Giants, who do they want to hire as their next head coach, you think?
Nobody's been more aggressive, to my knowledge, when it comes to John Harbaugh than the Giants. And it was an easy thing to see coming from a mile away. The issue is that they have a lot of competition. I think Cleveland's interested. I think certainly Miami be in the mix, among others. And so if you're the Giants, the way you sell John Harbaugh is probably twofold. One is, we know definitively, and this is not a secret, we know you like Jackson Dart. Okay, so you have your quarterback, boom. I'm not even going to get into, you know, as a frontline pitch, Malik Nabers, Andrew Thomas, and some of the defensive players. Forget that. You have your quarterback, and now here's the real key. We're going to let you pick your GM. We're going to let you pick your GM. Mm. I just feel like if you can do that, that's massive. And that's with all due respect to Joe Shane.
Is there a team that's in the playoffs right now that if they end up with an early exit could pivot from their current head coach and go after Harbaugh?
Jordan, we lose you. Jordan Schultz, Fox Sports NFL insider here with you in the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the Fan.
AirPod?
Might have been an AirPod die.
But you didn't hear the bloop.
No, you didn't hear that. Didn't sound like, maybe he went through a dead spot.
Oh, that could be.
You're fishing for Howie, aren't you, Philly?
We got him back. Okay. I think we got him back.
We did. Okay, Jordan, we got you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys.
Okay, perfect. So I asked if there's a coach currently with a team in the postseason. Could they pivot from their current guy if they have an early exit and go after Harbaugh? And through a Cowboys lens, if it were Buffalo, do you think Sean McDermott would be in a candidate for a defensive coordinator job, or would he be immediately a head coaching candidate for someone else?
Sean McDermott, I think he's a really good defensive coach. If they flame out in the playoffs, if Buffalo does not have a successful playoff run, I don't know. That to me is a potentially really tough spot for him, because not dissimilar to some of these other coaches we've seen fired in recent years with big names and a lot of wins, Sean McDermott has not, that's the one thing he hasn't had, sustained postseason success. If Sean McDermott gets fired, and that's a big if, and I don't expect that to happen, but if that were to happen, and that's hinging on a really disappointing playoff again for the Bills, then he would absolutely be in the head coaching cycle. There's no question about it. And, you know, you look at Mike McDaniel today getting fired. He's going to get at least one or two real looks at an OC, if not more, and he might also get a look at the head coach. And it's a similar situation for McDermott.
Okay, so sliding back to Leonard, I think one domino that needs to fall there would be Vance Joseph staying in Denver. How serious of a candidate is he for the handful of head coach interviews he's about to go through?
I would say, you talking about Vance or Leonard?
Vance.
Oh, I think Vance Joseph is he's in a great spot for a couple reasons. One is he coaches an unbelievably dominant defense. And I know there's great players there. I understand that. But if you talk to Patrick Surtain or Nick Benito or any of these great players there, and as I have, and you ask them about Vance Joseph, it's like there is a tremendous amount of respect and confidence and who he is as a person and as a coach. When I think about that and all the jobs that he's getting requested for, I would be surprised if Vance Joseph is not a head coach going into next season. He has the pedigree. He's waited his time and built his name back up. He's done everything. So to me, regardless of what happens with Denver in the playoffs, I think he's in a great spot.
How messy is the situation in Washington with our guy Dan Quinn and players bummed that Kingsbury's out and all that? Do you think his days are numbered for DQ going into 2026?
I reported on this yesterday. There is some weird stuff going on inside of that organization. It's not a healthy dynamic right now. And
that's great to hear.
You know, what did you say?
That's great to hear.
Music to our ears.
We love that. All the chaos you could talk about, Jordan, would be great.
Yeah, well, the problem is that so they go to the NFC Championship, completely overachieve against and beat Detroit and have this magical run. But then they come back and they have a disastrous season, and obviously injuries played a big role, none bigger than Jaden Daniels. But, you know, there were way too many problems with this roster going into the season to not expect at least a significant regression, regardless of injury. The roster had 35 – I didn't even know this until a scout told me this a couple of days ago. The roster had 35 one-year deals on it. That's you don't want more than 10 or 12, 15. They had way too many, you know, plug-and-play Band-Aids. And on top of that, they have not drafted particularly well the last 2 years. They missed on way too many big picks and early picks. And so you're asking me about Dan Quinn. I have so much respect for Dan Quinn. But after what happened this season, if they have a – let's say hypothetically, they go – 1-6 to start next season, then yeah, I mean, this is not like you have a massive runway. I don't think that's a big secret. The bigger question to me is how do we galvanize all the momentum we had from 2 years ago and get that back? To me, you got to have a much healthier dynamic in the building. And what I mean by that specifically is the report I'm referencing that I've had the last couple of days, which is one, several key offensive players, including Jaden Daniels, were not happy about Cliff Kingsbury getting fired. That's one. Two is your quarterback, especially in this case, is your franchise. You know, you're going to build a stadium on his shoulders. That's Jaden Daniels. So if he's not happy about Cliff Kingsbury getting fired, that's a massive problem. So I'm certainly concerned about what's going on there.
Jordan Schultz with us here on The Fan. The Max Crosby situation in Vegas. There was a lot of buzz about the Cowboys being interested at the trade deadline. What do you think holds for him this offseason, and could the Cowboys revisit that?
One more time.
Crosby in Vegas. Do you see that being broken situation?
No, I don't think it's broken, but a lot is going to hinge on who the next head coach is. I think the Pete Carroll situation was so unfortunate for a lot of reasons. Number one, he didn't want Chip Kelly. Like, if you're going to hire a 73-year-old head coach who wants to win now, you got to give him autonomy on his staff. Chip Kelly was not his guy. So that was one problem. Number two is he was never on the same page as John Spytek. You know, something that hasn't been really reported, but I think it's important to mention, is Pete Carroll signed a 3-year deal. John Spytek, the GM, signed a 5-year deal. That's not a good – you don't want that. You need them to be congruent. So Max Crosby, a fantastic, fantastic player, going into year eight, coming off an injury. Nobody is more deserving to win than that guy. And obviously, he did not want to be shut down at the end of the season. To me, the key to keeping that relationship healthy or helping it improve, getting it back to where it needs to be, he should be involved, at the very least kept up to date, on who the next head coach is, because despite not being a quarterback, he is the face of that franchise and really has been since he's been there.
Jordan Schultz, Fox NFL Insider, thank you so much for joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Have a great wild card weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Guys, my pleasure. Thanks so much. Take care.
Salute. There he goes. Thank you, sir. Okay, we got the C-note coming up. How many of these Cowboys contracts would you restructure to make more cap space? And how much could they have to shop with when free agency starts in just over 2 months? We'll hit you with that coming up next in the
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Back Nation. Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It's time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. We go to Cowboys Wire here. Katie Drummond with the headline, Cowboys over-projected cap they can clear $147.2 million in space with these 11 moves. How many of the 11 should they do? Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. That's the Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. A couple interesting things here just in the lead-up to the nugget of the content here. NFL salary cap has grown over the last two decades. It's projected to come in around $295 million now in 2020. Cowboys are projected to be 33 over with 44 players currently under contract. Team can use restructures and yada, yada, yada. And concludes that they can create up to 147 in 2026 cap space with these 11 moves. Okay, let's take a look at the restructures. This is a no-brainer with Jake Ferguson, right? Our guy, you got to convert $7 million into a bonus that saves you $5 million in cap space. Bada bing, bada boom, right? Rubber stamp that bad boy?
I think so. I don't think Ferg's going to be going anywhere, so you might as well.
I mean, the downside is you're committing longer to these players, or if you do have to move on, it's going to hurt you more into the future, as you know we're very familiar with as a way of just doing business in the NFL. I mean, obviously, Jake has been the greatest Cowboys player guest regular interview we've ever had. He's outstanding. You would like a little bit more yak. And damn it, you'd like a little bit better blocking, wouldn't you? But and, he's pretty good value.
And less fumbles, please.
Yeah, the fumbles. Now, he was blocking his ass off against the Giants. If we can just take that and find a way to stretch it over 17 games, that's my tight end right there. But, hey, if that's somebody that you're going to look to move on from, then you don't want to restructure that. You want to maintain flexibility. I don't think Ferguson's going anywhere, so that's when I would flip a switch on.
If you're sitting there at 25 and all the players are gone and that tight end from Oregon's on the board, Sadiq, you're banging that pick, aren't you? That guy's a freak.
He is really good. He is really good. I can't take a tight end.
Man,
can't
Dawson take a tight end. Watching some tape.
I can't. I mean, I'm with you, man. He is awesome.
He's making wide receiver plays on the ball.
He is. He's like a wide receiver at tight end. Yeah. He's fantastic. But with all the needs on this team, I can't. I feel like that's a luxury pick to take a tight end there.
You'd have to clean up in free agency.
Yeah, if they filled holes, then absolutely.
It'd be amazing if we can get to the draft and all these holes are plugged and you feel good and you can just take the best player available. That ain't happening, is it?
Unfortunately not.
I tried to help you with that, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
How about Deron Bland? You convert $12 million into a signing bonus, and you save 8.6 against the cap. These are the kind of high-risk moves. I mean, if things don't go well, you could move on from him next year.
Yeah. I can't do that one.
I'm not doing Bland. There's a part of me that wouldn't even want to do Ferguson, you know, but I'm more interested in doing Ferguson than Bland. Bland, you're thanking God that you have the out after next season.
You convert Osa. Save $12 million against the cap. It's a $16 million salary.
That's another one I don't know that I'm messing with because I don't know how much longer I really want him here.
You're hating all these signings, aren't you?
Well, they've backfired. I didn't like the Osa signing from the jump. Yeah. Deron Bland, I'm like, okay, on the front end, but that turned out to be a disaster. So Bland and Osa, I don't think I want to screw around with.
Yeah. Probably need to maintain flexibility on those two.
Considering how the Cowboys do business, yes. But if we could just snap our fingers and be in charge ourselves, you're looking at Dak hitting his mid-30s. It's all in 2026. We're doing all these.
Yes. I totally get what you're saying. If this is like, hey, because we are trying to win in this 2 or 3 year window and we are saying bleep the future in every possible way and we know that we are actually going to do right by the money that we're opening up right now, then yeah, it's a totally different story. Like we talk about all the time. If I was an Eagles fan, I'd feel one way. But as a Cowboys fan, I know where this is headed.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I want to bleep the future.
Right.
I want to know in 28 or 2029, we're heading for a top five pick and there's our next quarterback, you know, and either Dak's going to continue going and he'll sit the bench like Jordan Love did behind Aaron Rodgers, or, you know, Dak will be transitioning out of his viability and we'll have our new rookie quarterback. Offensive lineman Tyler Smith. This is a new no-brainer, right? You're converting 23. You're saving 17.5. Yep. Make it rain cap space.
That's one you're doing. That one, absolutely. And Tyler Smith's not going anywhere. I'm not worried about that. You restructure the hell out of it.
CD Lamb, you convert $25 million of his salary into a signing bonus. He gets a check for $23.8 million. And you save 18.5.
Thank you. Boom. There you go. We've saved 17.6, 18.4. Boom. Let's move on.
I mean, with those two right there, you're already under the cap. Now we're heading into the positive. And Dak Prescott comes in at a $40 million salary. You write him a check for $38.7 million. You spread that hit over the next 5 years, and you save $31 million in cap space. Now we're really cooking.
Now we're cooking.
Okay, so what do you guys do with Kenny Clark? The guarantees on his contract are up, so you do have flexibility. I mean, there's probably some trade value in there as well. Drummond recommends here on Cowboys Wire, you add 1 year to the deal and you spread it into voidable years, and it turns $19 million into a signing bonuses, and you trim about $15 million in cap space while keeping Kenny Clark.
Sounds
fun if you want to win now.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I mean, you could do the, we're just going to totally redo this deal, and we're gonna cut you, we're going to save that money, and then there's just the behind-the-scenes conversation with the agent, like, we're going to bring you back on this number. But if you just want to add the year and you save $15, $16 million, I'm in on that.
I think you have so many other needs, though. Like, we've talked about having two wide receivers, three defensive tackles, Brian. Is that the best allocation of resources?
Probably not the best, but man, I mean, you're in a situation right now where those are probably your three best defensive players.
And it's a position they have not figured out.
And I'm going to try and talk you into drafting an edge, probably at 12.
Would you trade Osa if you could?
Yeah. Absolutely, I would, yeah. But then again, you're probably thinking like, well, then I don't have a three. So now you're having to, you know, who is your three techniques? That's kind of where
I thought Clark and Quinnen could rush the passer enough, but no.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is everybody interested in playing Clark as a three, or are you going to keep him as a one?
I do like him as a one, but I do think he can kick over whenever he's playing with Quinnen if you needed him to.
Okay, then you're going to have to, if that's the case, yeah, we can trade him, but we got to find a backup then.
Solomon Thomas?
Could be a great possibility there, yeah.
I believe he's under contract.
Yeah, he is. He absolutely is, yeah.
Potential outright releases that could clear another $26 million in cap space. Malik Hooker. I feel like most of you guys are, this ship has sailed. See you later.
I am out on it, but I think that they do like him a lot.
I tried to get rid of him 3 years ago.
You did.
Yeah.
Terrence Steele. That could save you $10 million in cap space or so, but it's going to be an $18 million hit. I thought all season long we were heading down the direction of getting a new right tackle, but since the end of the season, just more and more people are talking about the possibility that he sticks around. I guess he's just slightly below average, you know, not that bad, not brutal. Man, he gives up a lot of pressure. I just don't know how you can anticipate that you're going to make your way through all these great pass rushers that are going to arrive in the playoffs and go on a run if those are your tackles. But, hey, you got to choose to skimp somewhere. And I guess if you want two number one wide receivers and three Pro Bowl defensive tackles, you got to find it somewhere. But, shoot, it was the original mistake on him was just giving him that big contract. Logan Wilson, did you see enough to want to keep him around $6 million base salary next year? You could pretty much free up all of that if you cut him.
Yeah.
They need linebackers so bad. You'd rather have the money than Logan?
Yeah, I probably want that money. And if you want to bring it back, you can. I don't think his number would be anywhere close to $6 million.
And then Brian Anger, the punter. I don't know. I don't think I have any punter opinions. I don't think I've ever had a punter take. You guys?
No.
You might want to punt on him.
He's a good punter.
More of a football guy myself.
Okay, Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, I'm going to try and talk to my guys and some players.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We'll do that next.
Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. And it's time now for Krusty's Corner with Broadus, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you five new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broadus.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Appreciate you always playing that. Thank you to Greystone for being a part of this as well. Really appreciate you folk. Heard some whispers that we might be interviewing some guys tomorrow.
Cool.
Exciting.
Coaches.
Cowboys, D.C.?
Yeah, we got to do some Rooney Rule stuff, too. I mean, Rooney Rule, it's part of, you know, there's very qualified candidates. So just got to make sure of those things, but hopefully everything kind of gets taken care of that way. But, yeah, they're going to have to do Rooney Rule. It's not just for head coach. It's for coordinators. So that's something you have to keep in mind as well. And but the word is that we might see some folks roll through here tomorrow. So, I don't know any more about these. The guys come through, or do we just Zoom everything?
Some Zoom, some show up.
Usually the initial is Zoomy. The Zoom, and then if we like you enough, we'll actually bring you in for a face-to-face.
Yeah, like these head coaches, I know that they've been going to dinner and stuff, but like I think we've
like
got another
one. Dinner, then get hired?
Yeah, I think Cliff's doing a Zoom thing. Yeah.
Is it high profile enough if you're up there at the Star that these guys are making their way through and like people are buzzing and whispering and the word will get out? Or do you think guys can get in and out of here before without us knowing who they are?
I remember, who was it? I remember one time when I was working for DallasCowboys.com, and it might have been Dan that I saw. Like, I was up working late one and they brought him through an area, you know, and I just happened to be like going to another area. So depending on, because they've got access with the Omni Hotel next door.
Yeah. So you that's where we saw Eberflus last year when we were doing that tennis.
Yeah,
thing.
Him and Clayton Adams too. Remember we went up and introduced ourselves to Clayton Adams.
That's right.
And they have there's a pathway that they could kind of walk guys through to get them over to the complex and stuff like that. But I don't think you'd want to bring.
They're not walking through the atrium or anything. Yeah, they're not welcome party.
Not when like
hey,
not like when they're giving a tour. You know, like and this is when Drew Pearson caught the Hail Mary. Oh my gosh, it's Coach Guy. But yeah, I think that they have abilities. But we'll see. Maybe tomorrow you'll start to hear maybe Bobby Belt or Todd Archer or Calvin Watkins. When these guys will come out and Jane Slater, maybe will say, you know. I was like, I can't get any names. No, but we might start doing the process tomorrow. So just keep an eye out for that. All right, a little game I want to play, and I'm so happy that Dawson is part of the draft coverage now.
But I am watching the players.
No, you're doing good, man. I appreciate you. I really do appreciate you.
Get ready 3 days.
Yeah, I really
all seven rounds.
Yeah. We're gonna need you. $0. Yeah. I'm going to pull a Bobby Belt on day three for you guys.
I got the poops, guys.
that would Bobby's good, dude. But by the way, too, we have Zach and Aisha Morrison and I did our show called The Stack. That's up
with our delicious 8 beer.
Yeah, on YouTube. Yeah, with 8 beer was involved in that. It was kind of fun.
No shortcuts, no excuses.
Exactly. That's exactly. No shortcuts, no excuses. All right. I'm going to give you a player, and I'm going to give you a college player that's draftable, and I'm going to give you other college players, and you tell me if you would rather have this guy or that guy. Okay?
Okay. This sounds familiar.
This is one of my favorite dudes.
Watch this one. Why? But this is,
you're cooking up a different one. Yeah, I'm ready.
This is different, though. Okay? And so I'm going to start off with this one. I'm going to start off with Downs, the safety from Ohio State.
I'll sit this one out.
You're going to sit this one out?
Well, there's nobody that I wouldn't take Downs. Like, I'm taking Downs over everybody.
You take him over Reese?
Everyone.
Bain?
Yep.
Bailey?
Yep.
Malanoa?
There's not a name you can give me that I'm taking Caleb Downs. He's the best player in the draft.
McCoy?
It's Downs.
Delane?
Yep, Downs.
Everyone?
Everyone.
Not one. That is your number one player of your stack right now.
I think that he is a can't-miss pick. Yep. I think that he is awesome. I don't think he's got a weakness in his game. I think he's getting knocked right now for the coverage stuff, and I think he's absolutely got the capability.
They're putting some stuff out. You can watch him in the Minnesota game playing some single high stuff.
I'm telling you, I think this guy gets bored back there at Ohio State sometimes. He's like, nobody's testing me deep. I can freelance. I can just line up and smack people, but I think you can literally play him anywhere in the secondary as a safety. And I think he can even cover the slot for you.
I got to see those reps because right now I see a guy that is able to freelance because he's on a super talented team.
Well, let me I'll walk you through these, though.
Okay.
I'll walk you through these, and then I'll get you. Chief, real quick, if you could.
Yeah.
Wolchuk is looking at 12 and taking a safety.
I know.
You having a problem with that?
Generally speaking, I would. I do think Downs is one of those unique, hey, Derwin James, we let him slip by. He goes to 17. Are we really going to do that again with the Caleb Downs?
Yeah.
I think Caleb Downs is an outlier kind of player to where screw the position factor, and you got a huge need for it, I'd be down.
Dawson, okay, I'm going to give you the names, and all then right. I'm going to let you, and let me, you've looked at downs. I gave you Reese, Ohio State.
Yep.
I gave you Bain, Miami. Mm. I gave you Bailey, Texas Tech, edge rusher there. Our offensive tackle from Miami, Al Noah. I gave you McCoy, the corner from Tennessee. And I gave you Delane, the corner from LSU. Any of those guys that I named, would you take over Downs?
Yeah, yeah, I think I would. And I'm not just doing this as a bit, but no, I would take all of those players.
I would take all of them.
I would take all of those players. I really like Caleb Downs, but I think there is a significant history in college football of safeties being overvalued because they're arriving, they're violent, they're making the tackle, they're there. And when I watch Caleb Downs, I see a guy with incredible instincts to fire into the box, whether it's a run or a short pass, and he's going to come up and make a sure tackle. But damn it, I need guys that can cover, and I need guys that can quarterback hunt a lot more than I need sure tackling, as much as it would be nice, you know, to have that presence in the middle of this Cowboys defense right now. I think they have higher positional value needs.
He can do it. He can do it for you. He can do all the things.
I mean,
you
if
need
he would, if he could cover, he would be a corner.
I don't know. I mean, I think he can cover. I mean, if you go back, I think at Alabama, he shows it. I think there's games that he shows it against Ohio State. But like I said, I think in the Big Ten, and actually, I think he's talked about this on a podcast with his brother. He's like, man, there's only four games I really need to show up for in the Big Ten. They don't test him deep down the field, and it's not his fault that he's not able to show that. But I just don't have any of those doubts. I get it, because you're right. His tape really does show like a box guy, but I think he's got the range. I just don't have those concerns. I'm a Caleb Downs stan, and I'm going to go down with the ship, and I take
die
him
on that
12
hill. That's good. No,
in a heartbeat, and I think he's the best player in the class.
All right, Dawson, talking Styles, linebacker, Ohio State. Right?
Yeah,
got him. You got him in mind. You good?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I've watched him quite a bit.
Okay, have you seen Mesidor? You need
haven't
to
watched Mesidor.
Okay.
Watched 12 edges, did not know that he was going to one of the best five.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned Sadiq.
Yeah, the tight end, Oregon.
From Oregon. Tate, the wide receiver from Ohio State. Or Fanoh, the tackle from Utah.
Tate, Sadiq, and Fanoh?
Yeah.
I would take the tackle there. I think this tackle is incredible, and he's not the big, strong guy. But I think for this Clayton Adams offense that wants to pin and pull and get guys out in space and move, like he is a – you couldn't drop a better athlete for what I feel like they want to do. Tackle, not only that, but positional value. Like Fanu's incredible because he doesn't get beat even though he's not strong. He's just such an incredible athlete.
Right.
He's almost like a corner that I'm just
the
able to stay with you.
Yeah, the balance and all that. All right, how about you there, Woolchuck? I know you have seen Mesidor. I'm sorry about that, Dawson. My apologies for your name.
No.
Okay,
good.
I'm going to give you Mesidor. I'll give you Sadiq because Dawson brought it up. I was interested. I think he is the best tight end in the draft.
Absolutely. He's the only one I've watched, but I think that he clearly is.
Okay, Tate, wide receiver, and Fanoh.
I would go with Fanoh.
So you're not taking Styles over any of those guys?
I would take Styles and Fanoh would be my two guys there that I would be considering over the others you listed. But I think I'm going to end up having Fanoh over Styles in my stack.
Okay.
But Styles is definitely in the consideration, though. I just think that he's consistent and super reliable, and everything that Dawson said about the athlete that he is, he just glides. Like he's like a ballerina playing right tackle.
Yeah. All right, last one here. Here we go once again. Okay, we're going to go McCoy, the corner from Tennessee, is what we're going to go with.
Nice.
I'm going to go with Bain, Bailey, Delane. Okay, so I'm going Bain, Miami edge, Bailey, Texas Tech edge, Delane, LSU corner, McCoy, corner from Tennessee.
This is great. I'd be so thrilled with any of these names. If I'm pushed to decide, which I am in this exercise, Reuben Bain would be my top out of those guys. And I think that if it weren't for the playoff, I would have ended up going with the corner, McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
And Delane's right there. Like, they are neck and neck for me. But I think Reuben Bain, with his ability to kick inside, play the edge, what he can do against the run, what he's shown as a pass rusher in these last two games against big-time competition has been incredible. The relentlessness he plays with. Jared Verse is kind of the comp for me, mm-hmm. and we've seen the success that he's had immediately. I think I'm going Reuben Bain in this scenario.
Dawson, I'm going to give you a chance to take the Tennessee corner, or you could take Bain, Miami Edge, Bailey, Texas Tech Edge, or Delane, cornerback, LSU.
Man, that's a hell of an opportunity to take one of those four guys, Brian. And I'm going to ultimately side with Wolchuk, even though I might like Jermod McCoy a little bit better. I'm gonna gamble that because of the injury, he'll still be available in the 20s, and Bain's not going to be there. So I'm taking a bit of a risk,
dude. If we could get both those guys,
we'd be having
a party.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate that. I kind of know where you guys are leaning to. So good.
Eric, awesome. You're taking Bain too, right?
No question.
Yeah, that's your guy.
Yeah.
Over the safety?
Oh, over the safety for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, Bain's something else. Cannot wait to watch him tonight, 6:30. We'll get more college football discussion with Denton Day from SiriusXM coming up at 4:20. Wolchuk, a football fix, is coming up next.
Yeah, let's do it. We got all the updates on what's going on with the coaching cycle, plus Kiper is going off again. Todd, we got that next for you on the Fan.